Which I have ever been to you, and thus deserve your temple in Before you have the joy of the harvest, as they are glad to be divided this way. For the yoke of his burden, the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, you have broken, passed on the day of pity. For every youth of the tramping warrior in the battlefield, and every garment rolled in blood, will be burned and fuel for the fire. For to us, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end. On the throne of David, over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness. This time, the Lord of hosts will do this. This is the word of the Lord. Epistle reading from the Epistle of St. Paul's letter to Titus, chapter 2, beginning with verse 12. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself to us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself the people for his own possession, who are zealous and good works. This is the word of the Lord. From the Gospel of St. John, chapter 1, beginning with the first one. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines through the darkness. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. Yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, or of the will of the flesh, or of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh, and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. This is the word of the Lord. Together we speak in the words of the Christian faith and confess in the words of the apostles. Sometimes we think of a counselor as a legal thing, maybe a lawyer can be called a counselor. Right? Somebody who's going to not only represent their client in court, but also give them legal counsel, legal advice. This is what you should do, this is what you should do. So there's all these ways that we use that word counsel. But however you tend to think about it, it's telling us something about what Jesus is willing to do. The way that Jesus teaches with a kind of authority that nobody is used to. There's a famous passage called the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus says a major teaching for three whole chapters of his gospel. And at the end of it all, Matthew 6, chapter 7, the crowds were astonished at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one who had authority. There's something Jesus is a wonderful counselor, and in the world, Jesus is wonderful counselor. We are all imperfect people. We don't know everything there is to know. We don't always do all the things we should do. We don't always know what decisions we ought to make. We need a wonderful counselor. We are also people who are often misled by the bad. That comes from people who couldn't care less what God believes is right and wrong. People who are more in tune with what the evil one himself is teaching us every single day. Almost every single moment, we are tempted to listen to the foolish counsel of the world and ignore the wonderful. Also, in Isaiah chapter 1, back in verse 2, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwell in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. God comes to us. He shines his light upon us with his wonderful counsel. Whatever he gives us is teaching of the gospel, our eyes are open to see this world the way that it really is, to see things as they really are. And that wonderful counsel reminds us that we are forgiven of our sins, that we have been set free from Jesus. This is why it's so important for us to hear, read, and study God's word on a regular basis. God's word cleanses our minds of all of that foolish counsel of the world and replaces it with the wonderful counsel of the wonderful counselor. Jesus' wonderful counsel reminds that he was conceived in the womb of a virgin because he loved you. Because his little teeny tiny human existence developed. So that when you face death, you can do so with the hope of the resurrection of God. Eternal life. God's life. Now, all of this has been possible because not only is Jesus a wonderful counselor, but he also is a saved born in Bethlehem is mighty God. That's what the incarnation is. That's what we were just singing about. Mark Carroll, you just say, veiled in flesh, the Godhead. Hail the incarnate deity. I know that people try to celebrate Christmas without any mention of the incarnation at all. But from our point of view as Christians, that approach takes all meaning out of Christmas. And all it does is leave us with a hollow Christmas. All it does is leave us with things that don't last. Christmas trees, jingle bells, the Bible gives us something so much better to focus on at this time. We just heard about it in the Gospel from John chapter 1. The Bible that we have reading is the same one that we hear every single year on Christmas morning. We worship John chapter 1. It's a little ironic, too, because John chapter 1 is not the Christmas story as we tend to memorize it from Christmas pageant. It's not the Christmas story from Luke 2 or from the Gospel of Matthew 2. This is something much different. But in a way, it's amazing what John has to say. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then later on, it says the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory. That's all that needs to be said about Christmas. Right there. Jesus is called Almighty God because he is the Word made flesh, and he was God, is God from the beginning. And not only is that one of the most amazing things that God has ever done for us, to become one of us, it's also one of the most personal. Because, and I'm going to say this without any exaggeration whatsoever, your eternal salvation depends on the fact that Jesus is Almighty God. If Jesus was only man, he could not be upset. Only God is capable of living the perfect life that we could ever live because of our sin. Only God himself is able to fulfill the law perfectly on our behalf. Only God can save us from sin, death, and death. The greatest Christmas gift that we have ever received is the fact that Mary and Joseph's son is our mighty God. Because that means he has the power and the authority to forgive our sins and to claim us as his own in baptism, to place his divine name upon us and welcome us into God's family. Think about what a blessing it is that Jesus, as Christ God, who is responsible for every form of life in creation, every single thing that exists, he cares about you as an individual to come to you through his birth, through his sacrifice, but also someday to come and stand in the clouds and finally take us home where he will walk in his presence forever and ever. If anyone is celebrating Christmas without that, it's the reason for the season. But unfortunately, it is that Christmas is not. us pray for the whole church of God, who Christ leads us all people according to the peace. Wonderful counsel, we come to you, Lord Jesus, thankful that you have enlightened us with the counsel of your wonderful and gracious word of forgiveness for all our sins. Help us, we pray, as we interact with people who may be entrapped by their sin, not knowing your full forgiveness, and slow to rejoice in the celebration of your birth. Wonderful counselor, use us in all we have to bring others to hear and believe the good news. Lord, in your mercy. Mighty God, we come to you in faith, gracious Lord, trusting that you were and are God in the flesh, our Emmanuel. Strengthen all who are in distress from the worldly forces that surround them. Assure them of your presence, strengthen their faith, and lead them to your home above, where we may all rejoice together in your love and grace. Lord, in your mercy. Everlasting Father, we come to you, O Lord, who conquered sin and death as ruler of creation, while also serving your people as a caring Father. Grant us heaven always your eternal presence among us, and help us to lend our lives to pass on the joy of your eternal forgiveness to our neighbors, friends, and family. Lord, in your mercy. Prince of Peace, we give thanks that you came to earth and paid the penalty that our sins deserved. Grant us steadfastness and faith to be at peace with one another, knowing that because of your grace and love for us, we will be with you in eternity. Lord, in your mercy. Give ear, O Lord, to our prayers, especially for those who are on your prayer list this day, including those who are in care facilities, Dorothy, Rebel, Beulah, we lift before you those who are recovering from recent surgeries, especially the women and the seven. We also ask you to be with Richard Bailey, who suffered a fall at home on Monday and fractured two of his vertebrae. We also work with all those with ongoing health needs and concerns, especially Thomas, Todd, Julie, Marvin, Amy, Roddy, Francis, Tina, Nicole, Christy, Brett, Linda, Jeff, Nancy, John, Virgil, Laverne, and all of us who are facing this. Give healing, courage, and perseverance to all who cry to you, that they may find comfort in your enduring word, comfort those who mourn, especially the family and friends of Marvin and Tennessee, with the certain hope of the resurrection to eternal life with Christ. Lord, in your mercy. These things we pray to you, wonderful counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace, for you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. May you see this. It's been a holy way for us to come forward and just worship the Lord in a special covenant. us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy kingdom come, thy will be done on the earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory. I'm going to go to the next slide.